The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those at his left hand, 'You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me, naked and you did not give me clothing, sick and in prison and you did not visit me.' Then they also will answer, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?' Then he will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. I hope you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I know that I am so grateful to be with you here today. Thank you. Last spring, I played in a golf tournament in Houston. My previous church, Palmer Memorial, held an annual golf tournament to raise money for a local school. And my friend, Jim, convinced me to play on his team, despite the fact that I had never played a game of golf in my life. I wasn't too worried, though, because I had played golf on Nintendo Wii, the video game. How different could it really be? I understood the basic principles of the game. I had an idea of what a good swing looked like. I could mentally envision myself hitting the perfect long drive. So, no problem, right? Wrong. As you can imagine, I was terrible. Half the time, I didn't even make contact with the golf ball. When I did, it usually went flying off in the wrong direction or else just rolled feebly a few feet away. It turns out that playing golf in a video game or imagining it in my mind was not the same thing as actually playing it. Luckily, I had very kind and sympathetic teammates who were endlessly patient with my pathetic attempts. And I actually ended up winning the ladies' long drive. I was the only lady in the tournament, but that's neither here nor there. I share this somewhat humiliating story with y'all today because I think it illuminates something about the Christian life.
mental engagement alone is not enough. We have to actually put our bodies into action. This, I believe, is what Jesus is talking about in this hard-hitting gospel lesson. He says that those who will inherit the kingdom of God are those who gave food to the hungry and water to the thirsty, those who welcomed strangers and showed them hospitality, those who made sure that people had enough clothes to wear, those who took care of the sick and visited prisoners. In other words, those who used their bodies to care for other people's bodies. All of these six acts of charity that Jesus mentions are actions, physical actions that meet physical needs. Too often we act as though Christianity is more about what we believe inside our own heads than about how we live our lives. But this parable reminds us that Christianity is not an intellectual exercise. It is not enough to have the right ideas or say the right words. Because we humans are incarnate beings. We are embodied creatures. God gave us a body and took on a body in the person of Jesus Christ. And so it matters what we do with those bodies and how we care for the bodies of others. You don't become a better golfer by playing video games or learning about the intellectual principles behind the game. You've got to get out there and break a sweat and get blisters on your hands and learn how to move your hips and your shoulders in the right way. And you don't grow as a disciple of Christ by sitting on the couch thinking good thoughts. You grow as a disciple by getting out there and caring for people who are in need. Contemplation, prayer, reading, studying scripture, all of these are crucial in the life of a disciple. But all those spiritual disciplines should be directing us towards action, towards serving others. The letter of James in the New Testament puts it bluntly. He says, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and eat your fill,' and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead." So James teaches us that faith and works are two essential elements of the Christian life, and you can't have one without the other. Saint Vincent Pallotti lived as a Catholic priest in Rome in the 1800s. He said, "Remember that the Christian life is one of action, not of speech and daydreams." And St. Vincent lived out these words. He spent his life doing exactly what Jesus is talking about in our gospel lesson, caring for the poor and the marginalized. In his community, he organized night classes for the local farmers and manual laborers to learn skills as well as how to read and write. He regularly visited those in prison and would spend the whole night with someone the night before they were sentenced to die. During the great cholera outbreak of 1837, Vincent risked his own health to care for the sick. And when the cholera epidemic left many young girls orphaned on the streets of Rome, he converted a room in the local seminary into a home for them, which still exists and operates today. Remember that the Christian life is one of action, not of speech and daydreams. St. Vincent truly cared for people in real, physical ways, as Jesus urges us to. And he is an example and an inspiration to us today. But you don't have to be a famous, venerated saint to put your body into action to care for those in need. You can feed the hungry by bringing canned goods to church next week, which will be given to our local food pantry, the Christian Cupboard. You can care for the sick by volunteering at the local hospital. You can welcome the stranger by working at our front desk in the church office as a receptionist and greeting the many people who come to our church looking for help. Or you could give an elderly person a ride to church. However you choose to serve, I promise you, you will enjoy it. It will be deeply satisfying and rewarding to put your faith into action. After all, playing golf is a lot more fun than playing any video game. And actually serving your neighbor is a lot more fun than sitting around feeling like you probably should. Amen.